In his first century letter, the Apostle Paul offered a wealth of wisdom to the young pastor named Timothy. And as we open our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4, we might be surprised to read a section of Paul's letter that describes an alarming trend in Christian circles, because these same observations could be written about churches in 2015. Today on Insight for Living, you'll hear Chuck Swindoll continue a presentation introduced earlier this week. We're talking about exposing heresy and teaching sound doctrine. The truth is not a relative issue. Chuck titled today's message, Ministering Amidst the Crazies.
What a crazy generation we are. It's the hardest thing in the world to be objective about one's own times, isn't it? And if you're like me, on occasion you long to have a quiet place to come back to the truth, the stuff that lasts. That's the church of the living God. We are the pillar and the support, along with hundreds of others, thank God, all around the world that stand for the truth. We support the truth of God. That's our purpose. 1 Timothy chapter 4, in later times, some will fall away from the faith. It's a known fact. Don't let it throw you. They will pay attention to deceitful spirits and to doctrines of demons. How can that happen? How could it be that people would teach such things and be led in such a demonic manner? Look at verse 2. It will be by means of the hypocrisy of liars, as they are seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. Isn't that vivid writing? And so naturally, when you get to verse 3, they were people who forbade marriage, and they advocated abstaining from foods. It was part of the cult. It's part of the ism. Paul says to them, don't believe that lie. That isn't true according to God's standard. It's according to their cult, but it's not according to God's standard. Now, the question is, how is it in error? Why was that teaching wrong? Well, keep reading. Verse 3 will help, and verse 4 will also. God has created marriage and foods to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. There it is again. All of a sudden, it jumps out of the page. And he invites all who will, what does he say? Believe and know the truth to share in it gratefully. And when we see these things from his perspective, they are all to be enjoyed. I am amazed as I live my life and find so few people enjoying so little of it. It's to be enjoyed. I have a little secret theory that one of the reasons it isn't enjoyed is because, chapter 4, verse 3, we don't share in those things on the basis of his truth. We've either abused them or we've taken them to extreme, and anything taken to an extreme becomes a misery and abuse. Even a marriage, even children, even music, even pleasure, even the delights of intimacy in marriage. All the spectrum of God's provision can be abused if you move from it the truth of God. Now, that's God's answer to these things. Everything created by God is good. I'm reading 1 Timothy 4 and verse 4. Nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. I want to tell you, there's something about a heart of gratitude that helps you enjoy life more. And all you have to do is a little bit of comparison to realize how grateful you ought to be. Some comparisons will really make you unhappy. I shook hands this morning with Jeff Seaman, who is a former all-pro linebacker for the for the Minnesota Vikings. Jeff's out here in a law school on the West Coast and did his undergraduate work as an All-American up at Stanford. And I shook hands with Jeff. Counted my fingers, and there were four left and a thumb. I was so glad. And I do very well until I compare myself to a Jeff Seaman. Then I feel like a slob, you know, comparison to him. But it's remarkable. When I forget about all of the earthly comparisons and I link myself with the living God who gave me a strong body, who gave me my mind, who gave me what I have, I am instantly grateful. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow caused by turning. I'm grateful. I'm grateful not for the gift so much as for the God who gave the gift. He's the one who gives it. Before you go to bed tonight, for a change, how about simply thanking God for the children and thanking God for your place of residence and thanking God that you're not going to bed hungry and thanking God that someone in your heritage told you the truth about Christ and that you have your body and you have the health that God's given you, gratefully acknowledging Him as the giver of the gift. There's something very wonderful about that kind of sensitive spirit if it's verse 5, sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer. Time for me to say one more thing. While Cynthia and I were away recently, we went through a difficult experience together. And one of those nights when we were going through this tough time, I decided it had been several days since we had just opened the scriptures and read them together. I had been moving in one direction and she had been moving in another direction, both of us ministering, both of us helping people in their needs, but we hadn't been moving in the same direction with one another. Ever have that happen? Sure you do. And so I sat down and she was laying in this bed and I sat on the side of this bed and I opened up the Psalms and I began to read one of the Psalms. And then I prayed after reading the psalm, and both of us, by the time we finished, had tears in our eyes. Suddenly, the situation in which we found ourselves didn't seem half as difficult. And it was all set apart by means of the Word of God and prayer. You live with somebody else? You pray with them? You open the scriptures with them when you see there's a heavy heart or you see they're carrying a heavy burden and just take a few minutes. You don't have to spend half a day in it. You can spend 30 of the best minutes of your month doing this, just the reading of scripture and prayer. I prayed and I paused on occasion and I just thought about our situation and she thought about it. And we started dialogue together. And it was all put in perspective through the Word of God and prayer. And I don't know how it happens. I don't know how the Spirit of God ignites the spark, but He does. Invariably, He does. You become more grateful for the morsel of food that you eat. You become more intensely grateful for the position that you occupy where you work and the salary that you're provided with and the car that you drive. And the health that you have. It's amazing how it's all put in perspective with the Word of God and prayer. Back to this business of the truth. Grateful heart is all He asks. Now, how do you minister in times that are so crazy and so extreme and cultic and weird? Well, we begin in verse 6, another paragraph, but I just want to get my foot in the door. Talk for a few minutes about this business of combating apostasy. Because it's surprising. You would think we are to lead a big crusade. You were to think that we're to get on our horses and run full bore up against the media, and we're to just blast them and blow them out of the water. But look at what the church is supposed to do. Remember, our role is salt and our role is light. Look at verse 6. In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus. So the first thing that's to be done in the combat of apostasy is to point it out. Announce it. Don't be afraid to call a spade a spade. Say the truth. Point the things out to the brethren. We spend too much time pointing out wrong to the non-brethren. What good does that do? They love it when we attack them. That just fuels their fire. The church of Jesus Christ is to be established in the truth. It is to hear the truth. It is to believe the truth. It is to model the truth in a world that is corrupt. It is salt. It is light. And its message is a sting. Its message is a blow in the face to a world that's moving in the wrong direction. The church is to point out these things to the brethren. The minister is, in this case, since this is addressed to Timothy. He's told if he does this, he will be a good servant of Christ Jesus. Notice also, we are to be constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of sound teaching which we have been following. Nothing new. We are to nourish ourselves on this solid diet of meat. No one should ever, ever, ever leave this church asking, where in the world is the truth? Where in the world is the meat? What was that service all about? They ought to leave saying, what a solid diet of food. I can go on that in the strength of these next several days. God has fed me from His Word. It helps me keep my perspective. There's meat in that Word. And we are to give ourselves to it without reservation. That's why you will never find me, as I roll up my sleeve and take on some ill of our day, and specify it and go for it politically. I will not do that. That is not my calling, and that is not the role of the church of Christ. It's easy to get these tables turned, and it's amazing what that will do to a church. I have never seen it fail. The tail ultimately wags the dog. In this case, the dog is the truth. Now, suddenly I realize I got mixed metaphors, and I've talked about beef, and now I'm talking about a dog, and I'm in really deep. So don't push those illustrations too far, okay? What we've got is a body of truth, and we want to feed on it. And it is the same body of truth that has been handed down by the elders of the past, and we have no right to adjust it. We have no right to change it. We simply have the right to proclaim it and to believe it. And it will change. It will preserve us in these days of the crazies. It will. So Christ affirms that right here in this verse. We have more to say about it a little later on. Let me point out a couple of three or four implications of this passage. Let me point out the first one, which is obvious from the first part of this chapter, that the present-day apostasy is a constant reminder that we're in the last days. It's not surprising, and that's not new information. If you've got your head together, you know that. Every time you read the page, certainly the homicide section, you know we're in the last days. Brutal, savage, horrible times. The present-day apostasy is a constant reminder we're living in the last days. I fully expect Him to come any day. I fully expect Him to come back any day and take us to be with Him. The second thing I want to say is this. The bottom line of all lies is Satan. John 8:44. He's the father of lies. The bottom line of all lies is Satan. In the final analysis, he is the father of lies. So whatever someone may tell you about being led by the Spirit or God ministering to them or showing them a vision or some skywriting or some tablet they found or some piece of information that cuts cross-grain with Scripture and happens to be a lie, the father of that information is not some other person. It is the devil. He's the father of all lies. These are doctrines of demons. Call it what it is. See it in chapter 4 and verse 1, verse 2, paying attention to doctrines of demons. Satan has won his greatest victory when he's ignored. When people stop thinking of him as being involved, he applauds that right from the pit. He loves it. Third, just like God, Satan has his spokesman. And they are more in number than God's spokesmen. They are also more persuasive. They are also more gifted. They are also more effective. Temporarily. Do your best not to be swept up into the movement of some person because they have charisma or because they are good speakers. Be sure that you compare what they say with what Scripture teaches. And if it cuts with Scripture, if it doesn't fit, they are wrong. Quit following them. Another thing I would say is an implication of this passage, that a sign of maturity is enjoying what God provides. Now, there's some implication in that. Some of you have been provided with some very lovely things. Why are you feeling guilty about it? I'm disturbed when I meet some folks in the family of God who have been wonderfully blessed by God in their work, and God has provided for them. They almost feel the need to hide it, almost like it's wrong to have nice things. Where do you find that in Scripture? Here again is another cultic idea. He has given us all things richly to enjoy. If you earned it honestly, if God has your heart and a good deal of your treasure is still going to his work and you're sensitively walking with him, enjoy his provisions. Don't feel guilty over them. It's a strange twist. They are all for you to enjoy and to share. Oh, finally, a part of a good, nourishing ministry is exposing heresy. Verse 6. In pointing out to these things to the brethren, you'll be a good servant of Christ. Part of a good, nourishing ministry is exposing heresy. So sometime, friends, you got to be negative. Sometimes you have to say, that is wrong. Sometime you have to sit down with your children and you have to say, honey, that is going to hurt you. Our son, I want to tell you before you go any further that there are consequences if you traffic in that realm. Part of a nourishing ministry, especially in the days of the crazies, is exposing heresy. They promise the moon, but they don't deliver that. They deliver bondage and the horrors that you can't imagine. Let's bow together. I'd like you to be quiet for a moment. I'd like you to think about one thing that you've heard. Maybe it's something having to do with a grateful heart. Maybe it has to do with enjoying what God has provided, free of guilt. Maybe it's breaking free from some cult, some teaching that's off the wall, and you're just beginning to see how far removed it is from Scripture. Or maybe you're just on the verge of getting into it, and God's awakened you to the fact that it's wrong. Think about that. Come to terms with it.
This has been quite a sober study, our Father, and we acknowledge that. We are living in a day when times are difficult and the enemy is at work. and his demons are all over doing their awful deeds and working against ministries that are committed to truth and determined to stand strong. Yet our Father, in spite of all of this, knowing that we are on the battlefield, not a playground, but a battleground, we need minds that are discerning. We need hearts that are softened, yet firm in the Scriptures. We need to be open to your instruction and determined that we will bend to our times, but we will not give in to the demands of our culture. Help us to be able to speak with relevance, but not compromise at any part of the truth. May we minister with effectiveness, with discernment. May we do so with confidence that you will honor your word in this day in which we live. Give us a keenness of mind so that we think clearly and we speak truth in ways that anyone of any generation could understand those words. And may Christ be lifted up in it all, Father. Without him, we can do nothing, but with him, all things are possible. So through the power of the Spirit and in the name of Christ, may your word go out and have a magnificent impact in the lives of those who have lost their way, especially those who have never come to your Son, Jesus Christ, by faith. Speak to their hearts, we ask, and in a very special way, encourage those who minister your truth. Give them the courage to press on in season and out of season. In the strong name of Christ, our matchless Savior, I pray. Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living and a message from Chuck Swindoll based on our study in 1 Timothy and called Ministering Amidst the Crazies. Find us online at insightworld.org. We'll hear a parting thought from Chuck in just a moment. First, though, we're pleased to tell you that Insight for Living continues to have an impact around the world as we remain faithful to our calling and provide these daily programs. When God's story is told, when the Bible is taught with clarity and excellence, people hear the truth and respond. We thought you'd be encouraged to hear one of the stories we received from someone who is grateful to Insight for Living. As a partner with us in ministry, you're part of the story as well. We invited one of our staff members at Insight for Living to read this emotionally charged letter. It started, "Dear Chuck,
I'm sure you don't have time to read all of these letters, but I felt very compelled to write one anyway. On August 11th, 2013, I became a 45-year-old widow with a 5-year-old son. I lost my beloved man to cancer. He was my dream. I'm thankful each day that God has given me a sound mind, or I'd be taken under by grief by now. In my lowest moments, I started listening to your sermons online every morning while getting ready. Your voice has been like a reassuring father. You've encouraged me and challenged me to see his truth and follow it. Today, I'm signing up to support your ministry. Thank you for speaking truth and delivering the gospel so faithfully. You are making a difference for his kingdom."
Well, we receive your words with mixed emotions, my friend. First, we grieve with you. Losing your husband just over 1 year ago, while providing for an innocent 5-year-old son who's left without a father. And second, we affirm your first steps. Keep drawing strength from the truth of God's word. Remember this, he will never fail you nor abandon you. I know I speak for many friends across the country right now who would wrap their arms of compassion around you in an instant. Her touching story is just one of thousands that we received here at Insight for Living, representing the real-life issues facing everyone. And though she expressed her thanks to me, I want to express my thanks to you. We could not exist for a day, I mean that, not even for a day, were it not for loyal friends who financially sustain us. Your confidence and insight for living make our daily visits possible. Please be generous, so that Insight for Living might continue to reach into homes just like this one, with the comforting compassion of God's Word. Thanks so much.
And here's how to respond to Chuck Swindoll. June 30th marks the end of our ministry year. It's the day we close our accounting books and start a new year of ministry together. To give a special fiscal year-end donation, and if you're listening in the United States, give us a phone call at 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. The financial goal for June 30th feels overwhelming, but one gift at a time, we can meet the need. When you give today, we'd like to say thank you by providing one of Chuck Swindoll's classic books. Over 1 million copies have been sold. And if you've never read Strengthening Your Grip, or you'd like to introduce someone to Chuck's teaching ministry, we encourage you to request a copy. Again, the book Strengthening Your Grip is yours when you make a donation today. If you're listening in the United States, our phone number again is 1-800-772-8888. Or go online to insight.org. I'm Dave Spiker. Thursday, Chuck Swindoll talks about the do's and don'ts of ministry on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Ministering Amidst the Crazies, was copyrighted in 1984, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2015 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.